Easter. We're still in the season of Easter until Pentecost, and the rains have come, and now the sun is shining. It's a beautiful spring day, and we are here to minister to the Lord and worship. The scripture says that he's made us a kingdom, and he's made us priests to worship unto him. So what an honor and a privilege to gather together and exalt the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you, and we praise you, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and anoint your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. And Lord, come. We just invite you to come. Breathe on your word. Breathe on your people today. May we have eyes to see you more than we've ever seen you before. And Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts, Lord, that are sensitive and tender to the leading of your spirit today. Pray, Lord, as Richard plays the prelude, I pray you'd anoint him as a minstrel. And Lord, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Prepare our hearts to worship. Walter's going to read that for us, verses 3 through 8. If you're able, could you please stand in honor of the word of the Lord? Psalm 130, verses 3 through 8.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all of his iniquities.
We're going to sing the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Is that okay? Just that we're going to pray in a minute, but Bob had shared before the service began a praise with Bevan. Some of you have been giving to Bevan, and he was wanting to buy a truck because the truck he had was small and he could only carry in like 15,000 boxes. But with this new truck that he was able to buy, he's now being able to carry in 40,000 boxes. So we thank God for that and all of the ministries that are helping the Ukrainians. So I just wanted to share that before I prayed it. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and holy is your name. It's so amazing that we have testimony in Isaiah 6, and then we see it again in Revelation. That's the eternal song. It's the eternal song around the throne. Holy, 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 holy. Father, what is it that the angels know that we don't know? I pray that you would open our eyes to your beauty, to your holiness, to who you really are. The psalmist said, worship the Lord in the beauty, in the splendor of his holiness. As Rich played this morning, majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. You are the holy one. You are the worthy one. You are the righteous one. There is no one like you. And we honor you. And we bless you. No one like you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Father, we thank you for those that have given. We thank you, God, for the big truck that Bevan was able to purchase. We pray, Lord, my friend Michael Evans, who has been here, he's in Ukraine right now. And, Lord, we pray that you would bless Michael, that you would bless Bevan, and, Lord, all of those who are bringing food and supplies to the Ukrainians. Father, we bless them. I pray, God, that it would fall into the hands of people that need it, that you would have mercy, God, that you would protect the innocent, that you would comfort those who mourn, you would provide for those who grieve. Lord, we ask for mercy in the situation in Ukraine, in Jesus' name. God, help. God, heal. God, deliver. In Jesus' name. Father, your word says, Jesus, you said, bless those who persecute you. And Father, we pray for President Putin that you would bless him. You would turn his heart, God, to you. God, have mercy and help. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for our governing authorities because you exhort us to in your word. We pray, Father, for President Biden, that you'd bless him, God, in Jesus' name. You would give him wisdom. Read in the news this morning that Pelosi is over in Ukraine right now. God, we pray you'd bless Speaker Pelosi in Jesus' name. And God, we bless our leaders. We pray, Lord, they would be men and women who honor you, that they would be men and women who fear you. God, that they would have wisdom and hearts that tremble at your word. God, have mercy. Pray for the European Union and, Lord, the governor, I keep calling them governors, but, Lord, the leaders in Europe, God, you'd bless them. And you'd give them wisdom as well in Jesus' name. Pray for the situation in China and Shanghai and the lockdown going on over there. And, God, we ask deliverance for the Chinese people. God, deliver them. We bless, Lord, the people in China. We bless the Christians, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom, that you'd give them courage, that you'd give them boldness. God, help them as well in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Lyle. We thank you, Jesus, that he's better. We pray, Lord, he'd continue to just to restore, have strength in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Sally Miller, Abby's mother. God, who's having trouble breathing this morning. God, we bless Sally in Jesus' name. God, that you would bless her, that you would deliver her. We speak strength to her in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray you'd sustain Abby. And Lord, just bless. We speak peace, God, over Sally and over her body and her heart and her mind in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Arlene, who had a heart attack, is in Carbondale. God, we ask your mercy to be upon Arlene in Jesus' name. We pray for Janet, God, and Janet, Lord, just bless her. And, Lord, mercy on Arlene and mercy on that family in Jesus' name. We pray for Kathy Beard as she continues to recover from a hip replacement. God, we thank you for that she's doing as well as she is. We bless Kathy, Lord. We bless Librand. We thank you, God, for the healing that you brought to that family. Lord, every other need, every other concern that we have, your word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition to present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, every need, be it financial, every need, Lord, be it healing. Thank you, God, for Bonnie Williams and the good report that she's been getting from the doctor. We bless Bonnie this morning. We bless Jerry this morning. We thank you for Pam, God, and family and friends that are here today. We thank you for her, Lord. We thank you for your sustaining grace on Pam in Jesus' name. Every concern of healing, Lord, every concern of family members that desperately need you, God, we just lift them before you right now. Every need, every concern. Thank you for this beautiful spring day. It's a reminder that weeping endures from the night, but joy comes in the morning. We thank you for the flowers. We thank you for the birds. Lord, just thank you for the changing of the seasons. We thank you that you're faithful. You do not change. That you're good. We love you. We honor you. We pray, Jesus, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We thank you for the givers. Lord, we bless the givers. And we ask you, God, for wisdom in the use of this offering that would further, Lord, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. May stand and we'll sing the doxology. Chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 is our Old Testament lesson. Isaiah 1, 16 through 20.
Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Were you there? Old hymn, were you there? Thank you. struggled with this message a little bit because it's Easter season. And why in the world would I be preaching on Pontius Pilate? And he's a character that I've had in my mind, just kind of been in the back of my mind for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, I just felt, I'm going to go ahead and preach on him because on Easter I preached about the good boys and the bad girls, and Jesus came for everything in between. And if there's a bad boy in the Bible, Pontius Pilate would be right up there in the top three, maybe number one. We throw labels on him, and yet when you look at him as a character, there are two characters in the Bible that really make me tremble. One of them is King Saul. I preached on him a year ago. And the second one is Pontius Pilate. Because we put a label on him, and yet what he did, you all, it's something that we all struggle with. And we really need to get our hearts right before the Lord, or we can be just like him. And so I want to look at him. And his story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And one of the things I wanted to do was be really creative and really, you know, try to get up here and combine all of the Gospels and just be eloquent and preach on him and combine them all. And I'm not going to be able to do that this morning. And because I really think, and this is one of the things that kind of led me to be a preacher, is I love the Word of God. The Word of God has changed my life. And when I became a Christian, I went from growing up in the church, sitting in the back row, passing notes to my friends. When I accepted Jesus when I was 16 years old, there was an immediate transformation, and I immediately became hungry for the Word. And so I went from the back row to the front row because I just couldn't get enough of the Scriptures. And so as I was looking at this and trying to combine them, I'm like, no, I'm going to let the Word of God speak for itself. And I'm just going to lay it out there. And Matthew and Mark are very, very similar in their stories. So I'm gonna focus on Matthew, I'm gonna focus on Luke, and I'm gonna focus on John, and kind of look in, because they all together give a really complete picture, and they all kind of add pieces that fill out his story. And I think he's a character that we need to learn from. And again, one of the reasons we know the Bible is true is because it doesn't gloss over things. And next Sunday is Mother's Day, and I'm kind of praying about what to do on Sunday, next Sunday. But one of the things, there really aren't any ideal families in the Bible because they're all pretty messed up, which is really kind of hopeful for the rest of us, isn't it? And they tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the good, the bad, and the ugly is in the Bible so we can learn from it. And so we don't have to go down that road. And Pontius Pilate is one of those characters that we definitely need to learn from. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, I offer up to you my little loaves and my little fishes. And Lord, I pray you'd multiply it today. I pray, Lord, in my weakness, you would be strong. I pray you would anoint me, that you would give me the words to say, that I would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And Lord, you've laid this on my heart. And Lord, I pray that I would get out of the way and that you would say what you want to say today. Holy Spirit, come. This is your word. And I pray, Lord, you would teach us, that you would discipline us, that you would convict us, that you would encourage us, and that you would encounter us in your word today. In my weakness, be strong. Anoint me, God. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an interesting political situation. I'm not a historian. And so you could read up on Pilate. But the short of it And I was trying to think of a really good example this morning to try to make it simple. And it would be a little bit like if the state of Illinois, if our governor was from China. And so we have Palestine, Judea at the time of Jesus. They were an occupied territory. And so there was a very tenuous relationship between the Jews and Pontius Pilate. They didn't like one another. They struggled to get along. And we wouldn't like it if our government was run by another country. And that was the way the Jews felt. And so, but Pilate was the Roman governor. And there's a word, he's the, I had to write it phonetically because I couldn't get it straight. Procurator or the governor of Judea. And so he was the Roman leader that Rome had set there. And again, so the people did not like that. But that's who he was. That's who he was. And there's all kinds of interesting political maneuvering that happened when Jesus was betrayed by Judas in the garden. And I'm going to kind of pick up on that. And Luke is the gospel that really kind of gives us the best insight into what happened. But just to kind of set it up, this is right after Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. It's Thursday night. He says that Judas was going to betray him, and Judas does that. He washes their feet. He has the Last Supper. They go out. Judas betrays him. They take him, and he's being tried by the Herod and the high priest, and they're bringing all kinds of false accusations to him. And so this is the context of where we are. So it's been late Thursday night, early Friday morning. All of this stuff has been happening. Again, false accusations are flying, and the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, has, again, brought all these false accusations, and this is where we are. So if you have your Bibles, look with me at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And again, this is just a setup, and this is how kind of gives you a good insight into the politics of things. Peter denies Jesus. I'm going to back up to 63. Luke chapter 22, verse 63. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking, "Prophesy, who was it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, this is early on Friday morning, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and the scribes, and they led him away to their council. And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We've heard it from ourselves, from his own lips." Chapter 23 of Luke. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ or Messiah, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether this man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod. So you've got this interesting dynamic at play. The chief priests say he's guilty, he's blaspheming, and they throw in that line about Caesar. because he knew that, that they knew that that would get Pilate all riled up. But Pilate says, wait a second, he's a Galilean. Take him over to Herod. So there's this political shuffling. The chief priests want him dead. They take him to Pilate. Pilate's like, he doesn't want to deal with him. So he shuffles him back to Herod. Verse 8 of Luke 23. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him. Three different times, Pilate says, this man has done nothing wrong. He knows that Jesus is innocent. He's trying to play the political game and getting him, you know, trying to defer responsibility. But they bring him back, and Pilate says, he hasn't done anything to deserve death. So I want to go back to Matthew, because Matthew, in his recounting of the story of Pilate, he pulls out some things that the other gospel writers don't, the other gospel writers don't. So flip over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now Jesus, in verse 11, Matthew 27, verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you've said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was completely amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. So he knows their motives. He knows their motives. He knows Jesus is being set up. Verse 19. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I've suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters And they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Matthew brings out Pilate's wife. She's not mentioned in the other Gospels. And she comes to her husband and she says, "Don't do anything to this man. He's a righteous man. I've had dreams and I'm troubled. Don't do anything." And Pilate doesn't listen to his wife. Men, sometimes you need to listen to your wives. God gives us dreams. Sometimes they're warning dreams. And she had those dreams. And she comes to her husband, "Don't do anything." And Pilate doesn't listen. And then in Matthew, in this passage, he has this symbol of washing his hands. I don't watch a lot of murder shows, those A&E things. I don't like watching those because they get in my head and they bug me. But the few I used to watch them, but what I remember is people, murderers, what they will often do is they just feel they will come home and they will wash and they will cleanse themselves. And that's what Pilate does. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He knows it. He knows it. And he says, "This man is innocent." So he washes his hands. He says, "I am innocent of this man's blood." But is he? No, he's not. Because he concedes. He concedes. Flip over to John. John brings out some nuances. John chapter 18. Starting in verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So you've got the political maneuvering there. Verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Did you say this of your own accord? Or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Do you hear that? "I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Heard a lot of sermons on that statement. I don't think Pilate at this point is asking a philosophical question. I think Pilate is like, "What's truth? What's truth? Truth isn't going to save you, boy. Truth isn't going to save you. What's truth?" After he said this, Pilate, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Pilate, he knows he's not guilty. And yet, what does he do? Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he's made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. Our first clue, it actually says it. Pilate is afraid. He's afraid of the people. He's afraid of standing up for conviction, standing up to what is true. He's afraid. He's afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend." They're manipulating him. He is a governor of Rome, and they're like, "All right, if you don't crucify him, you're not a friend of Caesar. We're going to get you in trouble with the government, Pilate." Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, in an Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered them over to be crucified. In Luke's version, he keeps pointing out that Jesus, Pilate, knew Jesus was innocent. He knew he was innocent. He knew he was innocent. And he knew he was innocent. And yet, he gave in. He gave in. What's the takeaway here? Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man is a snare." Fear of what people think, fear of being able to stand up, will ultimately lead us to be just like Pilate. It is that big of a deal. And his story is incredibly sobering, because as you read Matthew, as you read Luke, as you read John, Pilate didn't want to do it, but he didn't have the guts to stand up. He didn't have the courage. He didn't have the backbone to be able to withstand. And he caved to what people thought. He caved for the pleasure of, because he was afraid. He was afraid. And we're living in a day and age that we need courage more than we've ever needed it before. In all honesty, when you look at the church, when I look at the church in China and what they're undergoing, when I look and I read about the church, persecuted church in Afghanistan and the Middle East, and I look at those people and what they endure, and I look at us largely the church in the United States, you all, we are so weak. We are so weak. And we've drifted so far away from what the gospel really is about. And I'm afraid so many of us, and I struggle with fear, as many of you do as well. And the redemption for us is Peter. Peter didn't have the guts either. Peter caved under the pressure, and he denied Jesus. But Jesus came, and Jesus restored him. And the story of Pontius Pilate warns us of what fear will do. Jesus said, and he says it, actually, he says this in all three Gospels as well. But in Luke's version, he adds this statement. He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and his holy angels. Going back over to Luke, when they've delivered Jesus up and they crucify him, hear this. Luke 23. And as they led him away, they seized him. One, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved himself. He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. That centurion was Pilate's man. He was part of the Roman government. And I think that centurion had probably been watching. He watched what was going on with Pilate. He saw Pilate's conflict. He saw that. He saw Jesus crucified. And as he watched Jesus and watched him die and watched those thieves arguing and seeing what Jesus said to him and offering that one thief forgiveness, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he saw Jesus. He saw it all. And when he saw him die, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as he watched all of that, when it all came and it was all said,
tree and says, wow, surely it is true. Surely this one was the Son of God. Joseph of Arimathea comes and he asks Pilate for the body, and Pilate gives him the body and they bury him. And then the women come early on the first day of the week looking for Jesus. And Jesus is alive. He's been resurrected. He offered forgiveness to Peter when he failed and didn't have courage and Peter denied him. He offered forgiveness for that thief right there on the cross. He offered forgiveness. And there are days we're in them and there's more coming when we are going to have to take a stand and not be afraid and not be afraid of what people think and not be swayed and not give in, because we can be just like Pilate. Are we more afraid of what people think of us? Are we more afraid of that than following after Jesus? He said, if you're ashamed of me now, I'll be ashamed of you when I come back. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John have been warned. Don't speak anymore in this name. We don't want you speaking in that name of Jesus. We don't want you healing people. We want you to stay in your house, shut the door, sit down, shut up. We don't want to hear about Jesus anymore. They threaten. Don't speak anymore in that name. And what do? Acts chapter 4. Peter and John come back to the church. They tell them that, hey, they tell us not to speak anymore in this name. Tell Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard it, this is the church, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your holy father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I tell you this story today because early on in my life, I struggled with fear. I was afraid of what people thought of me. I wanted to please people. And the Lord, I started reading this story 20 years ago, and the Lord was like, April, if you give in to that, you're going to be just like Pontius Pilate. What? Is fear that big of a deal? Yeah. What's the remedy? Standing at the feet of Jesus. Were you there? Meditating on it, thinking about who he is, what he has done, that he loves you, that he went to the cross for you, that he's raised in power, and he wants to give us courage and boldness. He doesn't want us locked up in our doors and afraid and wringing our hands. Oh, what's happening in the world? No, he wants us to be bold. He wants us to go out and be his army. He wants to heal people through us. That's what he wants. That's what the church is to be about. And we've drifted so far away from that. And God's calling us today, and he's saying, come back to me. Focus on me. Pray once again for courage. Pray once again for boldness. And it's his kingdom that he wants to come through us. His love, his peace, his authority. spirit. You have not because you ask not. Do you need courage this morning? Do you need boldness this morning? Ask him. How much more, Jesus said, well, if an earthly son came to his earthly father and said, Father, I'm hungry. And Jesus said, what, would that father give him a snake? No. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He loves you. He's with us. This could be, and this is, it's going to be, the church's finest hour. But he's calling all of us to stand up for him. He's calling all of us to have courage and boldness. Where does it come from? Focusing on Jesus, asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's complete victory in him. There's forgiveness in him. There's healing in his name. And he wants to heal us and equip us so we can go and be salt and light in a lost and dying world. Will you ask him? Will you ask him? Will you ask him? Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, the story of Pontius Pilate is incredibly convicting. Because so many of us, Lord, are too afraid to share about you, are too afraid to stand up for you. And Jesus, you said, that if we're ashamed of you now, you'll be ashamed of us when you come back. So Lord, right now, today, we ask for your forgiveness for being afraid. And Lord, I pray as they prayed in the church in Acts 4, the early church, said, Lord, consider their threats and give us courage and give us boldness. Lord, I pray you would do that. Thank you that you don't condemn us. You don't condemn us. Lord, you want to equip us. You don't want us huddled in our homes, afraid to stand up for you. You said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. The church on fire. The church that's bold. Church is just courageously standing up for you. And Lord, we see what the church is undergoing in China, in persecution throughout the world. And Lord, it just makes us realize how weak we really are. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would stand for you, that we would live for you. Not only would we die for you, but Lord, we would live for you. We would live for you. Give us eyes to see opportunities that we can love other people. We can share with them. We can pray for them. And Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. You offered forgiveness there at that thief on the cross. You offered him forgiveness. And Lord, you offer that to all of us. Lord, we come. Search us, Spirit of God. Maybe we've never fully made a decision for you. Pray that today would be the day. Lord, maybe we've been like Peter and we've failed desperately. And you want to come today and you just want to say, hey, I forgive you. Let's try again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Psalm that was read this morning. With you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are greatly feared. Lord, we so take for granted your forgiveness. And instead of fearing you, Lord, we just kind of run ahead and do our own thing. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would really fear you with a reverential fear. Open our eyes, Lord. We thank you for your victory. As we sing that hymn, God, I pray that we would go out of here fired up, encouraged, and we could tell others about Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing Victory in Jesus. And again, if you struggled with fear, there's forgiveness in that. And we're going to sing about his forgiveness. that we have in you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. With you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are greatly feared. I pray, Lord, we would honor you, that we would love you with everything that is within us. And, Lord, give us undivided hearts to fear your name. Give us courage, Lord. Give us boldness in these days. And we thank you for the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And, Lord, we thank you for the victory that you won. I pray we would be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.